This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The United States is shifting its position on which countries will be allowed to bid for a second round of major reconstruction contracts in Iraq and will allow Canadian firms to compete, a Canadian official said on Tuesday. The official, speaking on the sidelines of a summit of America's leaders in Mexico, said it also was likely that French and German companies would be allowed to compete for the contracts. The United States angered a number of countries late last year when it insisted that only companies from countries that supported the U.S.-led war in Iraq would be allowed to bid for major reconstruction contracts. Connecticut Governor John Rollins said Tuesday that he is not swayed by the growing number of calls that he resigned for accepting gifts from state employees and a state contractor and then lying about it. The governor's remarks came a day after Republican U.S. Representative Christopher Shays added his voice to the growing chorus within Rollins' own party for Rollins' resignation. Shays' comments came as six more GOP state senators also urged the Republican governor to resign. 11 of the state's 15 Republican senators have now asked that he step aside. The Hartford Courant reported Tuesday that Rollins privately told Democrats and Republicans that if they move to impeach him, they may find themselves being called by the media about favors and gifts they have received. Some lawyers described the comments, which were made in meetings with lawmakers last week, as veiled threats. The Treasury Department has asked for a probe into former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill's possible misuse of documents that may have been classified, a department spokesman said Monday, but O'Neill maintained that he didn't take any documents. Of concern is the document as shown on 60 Minutes that said secret. A spokesman said it was standard operating procedure to refer such a matter to the Treasury's Office of the Inspector General, which investigates potential wrongdoing involving the department. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Miami man who lived on a golf course for 40 years was told to leave because some golfers complained that he scared them. Other golfers, however, claim the man is harmless and say he should be allowed to stay. Kenny Bethel first showed up at the country-owned golf course after he ran away from home in 1963. He collected and resold stray golf balls, used the club's showers and toilets at night, and slept in a sheltered area that housed the showers. For the last 9 years, he had been joined by his wife, Frances. They have since relocated to a space under a nearby bridge. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Have you been chipped yet? A company called Applied Digital Solutions wants you to undergo a surgical procedure to implant a tiny RFID microchip in your arm. Why would you want to do this? Because radio frequency ID chips will eliminate the heavy burden of having to carry credit cards and remember your ATM numbers. Instead, your arm becomes your card and ID number. Simply run your arm under a scanner, and your embedded radio chip sends a digital signal to the computer, allowing you to complete your transaction. ADS calls its microchip VeriPay. There's only one rational reason that ADS executives think we'll submit to this. They're insane. Insane, but serious. They insist that this technological leap is needed because many people lose their credit cards. VeriPay solves that problem, says a corporate PR flack, cheerfully noting that ADS's chip is subdermal and very difficult to lose. You don't leave it sitting in the back seat of a taxi, he said. Subdermal or not, your ID number still can be stolen by a geeky thief who rigs up a device to intercept your radio-transmitted number, then plays it back later to your ATM machine, emptying your account. If your number is stolen, or if you simply switch credit card companies or banks, what are you to do? No problem, says the PR guy. If you don't want it anymore, you can go to a doctor and have it removed. I call it an opt-out feature, he said gaily. Swell. Instead of simply calling your credit card company to cancel your card, you'd have to call a surgeon. This is progress. Still, ADS is banking on you to get chipped, as they cheerily put it, even offering a $50 discount to the first 100,000 people who sign up. This is Jim Hightower saying, by the way, the honchos of ADS are such business geniuses that the company's stock plummeted from $12 a share 3 years ago to about 40 cents today. I wouldn't entrust two bits to them, much less my arm.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably, a few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
What I think, you couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing war, life's life.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say bye to losing. Say bye to song we can sing. This time we'll say bye.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Tuesday evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Phone number, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. You can email mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. So how long did it take? 36, 48 hours? I'm talking about former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill to say he really didn't mean it and he's been misunderstood. It's astonishing, isn't it? It's astonishing the power that this Bush crime family has over everything, just about. One has to assume that it took about a year for the book to be written, the book written by, what's his name? Who is it again, Kathy? I keep forgetting the Ron Suskind. Wall Street Journal reporter. I don't know why I'm having trouble with that name. At least a year to write it. Galleys to review. Quotes to go over. Facts to check. Documents to make sure could not result in, lawsuits, civil cases, or criminal cases. Ron Suskind, of course, is the author. The Price of Loyalty is the name of the book. Well titled, don't you think? Quotes to check. Galleys to review, work to make sure everything is right, and then the book comes out. And Mr. O'Neill goes on CBS, and he states rather categorically what happened, what he saw, what he witnessed, what he was a part of. The vacuousness of George W. Bush and the intention of the Bush crime family to commit war wherever the Bush crime family damn well pleased to commit war. And now he has gone so far to say it was not his intention to criticize Bush. The entire book is a criticism of the Bush crime family.
of true political criminals like Dick Cheney and the people who are clustered around George W. Bush. That's the focus, the intent, the purpose, the raison d'etre of the book. But Mr. O'Neill said, well, it wasn't my intention to criticize Bush. And adopting a line from, oh, I don't know, somebody probably in the Soviet Politburo during the Brezhnev era, Mr. O'Neill says, and I will vote for him again this year. How long did it take? 24, 36, 48 hours? He says that his account of what happened has been distorted by, yes, indeed, the media. O'Neill went on the NBC's Today show today, and he said, people are trying to make a case that I said the president was planning war early in the administration. People are trying to say that I said that. Gosh. Actually, Mr. O'Neill goes on to say, there was a continuation of work that had been going on in, here it comes, the Clinton administration, with the notion that there needed to be regime change in Iraq. Ah. Now, this is coming from Paul O'Neill, part of the National Security Council, the Bush National Security Group. This is coming from a spokesperson from that inner circle of Bush freaks who constantly and continuously, with their shills in media, talk about how the Clinton administration did nothing, planned nothing, had no contingencies. That the Clinton administration had, in fact, left this country totally vulnerable to all sorts of death and destruction. That is the message put out by the pissants like Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of these people. That is the message put out constantly and without let up by members of the Bush crime family until it is convenient to say, well, we were only continuing Clinton policies. Donald Rumsfeld weighed in today. Oh, did he ever. Charlie, one of the crack Department of Defense reporters at the briefing today, has a question for Rumsfeld. Charlie says, Mr. Secretary, former Secretary O'Neill said that you called him and asked him not to write his book.
I'm not sure he said that. In fact, I have not read or heard everything he has said. So I wouldn't want to challenge someone as distinguished as you are in your profession. And Dean is the dean of the Pentagon Press Corps, but I would question whether he said it.
The snottiness. The smarmy snottiness of this thug. I wouldn't want to challenge someone as distinguished as you are in your profession as the dean of the Pentagon Press Corps. The arrogance of these fascists is beyond belief, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that one of the hallmarks of fascism? Sure. But Charlie continues, well, Mr. Secretary, did you ask him not to write his book?
First of all, I don't believe you wrote a book. I believe he cooperated with a book.
You snot.
With an author whose name is not O'Neill. First fact. Second, I did call him. One day, someone told me that he heard that Paul was going to write a book. I almost said, well, I won't say it. That it was not going to be a good book. And I said, I can't believe that. I've known him for 30 years, so I picked up the phone and called him and said, what is this business? Someone tells me you're going to write a, you know, one of those, what do you call them? Sour grapes, or you know, it was one of those insider things. And I said, he said, no. He said, I'm going to write a book about policy and substance he didn't say I'm going to write it. He said, I'm involved in a book. I don't know. It turns out he didn't write a book, I don't think. In any event, that's what I said to him. And I said, well, I'm relieved.
You're relieved. And I am just so totally enamored of the efforts of the White House, or I'm sorry, the Defense Department Press Corps, as they provide words and phrases for this murderous pig, Donald Rumsfeld. When Rumsfeld says, someone tells me you're going to write a, you know, one of those, what do you call them? Kiss and tell, expose, tell all. So quick to help, aren't they? Another reporter says, well, did you call Secretary O'Neill a second time?
I did call him a second time. Not too long ago, before just a day or two or three before this stuff started showing up in the press, someone said to me, he went ahead and, you said he wasn't going to write that kind of a book, and sure enough, he went ahead and participated in a book that was what we originally said. And I said, I'll be darned, let me give him a call. So I called him up, and I said, you didn't go and do that, did you, Paul? I can't believe that. And he said, well, there'll be people who feel that way, or something to that effect.
How long did it take to get to Paul O'Neill, to put the fear of Christ into him? What was one of the last things he said with the interview with Leslie Stahl on CBS's 60 Minutes? I'm old and I'm rich. There's not too much they can do to me, if anything. It's amazing, isn't it? The power of this corrupt, destructive administration. How long did it take? 36 hours? 48 hours? Rami continues with his opinion of O'Neill's characterizations of his Bush years.
I must say, I have not read the book, so I really am reluctant to comment on it, other than to say that what I've been reading about the book is so different from my experience in this administration. It is just dramatic. It's night and day. And the perspective I have of this president, who I have just enormous respect for, his brain, his engagement, his interest, his probing questions, his constructive and positive approach to issues.
Is Rumsfeld serious? This is Monica Lewinsky. This is Rumsfeld about to have a stain all over his nice blue serge suit, courtesy of George Bush. That's what this is. What is Rumsfeld saying? I have enormous respect for his brain, George Bush, his engagement, his interest, his probing questions. Rumsfeld is going to make sure that he never gets the call at 2 o'clock in the morning after a book comes out that says, Mr. Secretary, we read your book, and you got about, let me see, what time is it here? My watch stopped. Oh, there, okay. You got about 8 hours to retract everything, Mr. Secretary. You better get on it right away. Donald Rumsfeld doesn't want to get that call. Obviously, Paul O'Neill did. Obviously, other people who have spoken out. Look what they did with former Ambassador Joe Wilson.
Mr. Ambassador, listen, we don't like what you said, so you know what?
What, asshole?
We're going to out your wife.
You're going to what?
We're going to expose your wife. We're going to set her up to be killed.
Go ahead.
Been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy. Well, my wife returns from taking my little girl to school. She got beads of perspiration as she tries to keep her cool. She says that mess, it don't get no better. There's gonna come a day. Someone's gonna get killed out there. And I turn to her and say, Texas. She says, what? I said, Texas. She says, what?
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Show. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush.
Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy.
You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Of course, ABC News on Jennings' program tonight, World News Tonight, John Cochran reports that another official is confirming the account that Paul O'Neill gives in his new book, Before O'Neill had his spine turned to water and his bowels go all messy on him as a result of probably well-placed phone calls by people in the Bush crime family who had a little message for Mr. O'Neill. According to John Cochran at ABC News, Bush ordered the Pentagon to explore the possibility of a ground invasion of Iraq well before the U.S. was attacked on September 11th, an official told ABC News, confirming the account former Treasury Secretary O'Neill gives in his book, the official who asked not to be identified. Gee, I wonder why. The official was present in the same National Security Council meetings as O'Neill immediately after Bush's inauguration in January and subsequent meetings in February 2001. So we have another one. The official told ABC News, again speaking on conditions of utter and absolute anonymity, quote, the president told his Pentagon officials to explore the military options, including use of ground forces that went way beyond the Clinton administration's half-hearted attempts to overthrow Hussein without force. End quote. I, you know as well as I do that these are mass killers, that these are petty thieves as well as mass killers. These are sick individuals. These are psychopathic, sociopathic individuals who are running this country. What is astonishing to me is the power they have. Apparently, word went out to most media outlets to report the O'Neill retraction and don't go any further than that, to make fun of O'Neill, make O'Neill look like a complete ass, but don't question the substance of the story. I have watched some news today, and I have yet to see anyone say, well, the fact remains that George W. Bush committed illegal acts based on lies. You know, why is this not the number one story? Why is not every single talking head on television talking about the fact that George W. Bush lied and sent people to die? Do you remember, five years ago, every single time you turned on the television, word about Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? How many times did you see the videotape of Monica and Clinton embracing at the rope line? How many of these evil bastards did you see on television? All these right-wing thugs who made their bones back during the Clinton impeachment, who are now, they're like vermin. They're all over talk television, and some of them on network television. Just night after night after night after day after day after day about Clinton and his girlfriend, Clinton and oral sex, Clinton and his girlfriend, on and on and on. Here is a degenerate who took this country to war based on lies. 500 Americans are dead. Thousands of Iraqis, thousands of Americans are wounded. Our military has been decimated. We are in two wars, two fronts. It's insane. It's insane. And one or two people step out and say, look, regards to what you were told about this being a reaction to 9-1-1, it really wasn't. This is what this administration started talking about from day one. And within 24 hours, within 48 hours, this weaselly little oily bastard Paul O'Neill is retracting everything. I told you the other night, didn't I? I said I didn't like him. I didn't like him when he signed on to this corrupt Bush administration. So here he is. Who called him? What did they say? Huh? What did they say to him? What kind of a threat did they make? Did it have something to do with his manhood? You know, like a sharp curved knife? Did it have something to do with his kids, his grandchildren? What was it?
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
growing health crisis comes down to one simple fact. People are not eating their vegetables. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The World Health Organization estimates that 3 million people die each year because they don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. That makes this diet deficiency almost as risky as smoking, and the problem is found in every country, rich and poor alike. Some of the world's most widespread nutritional disorders, including birth defects, weakened immune systems, and blindness, are caused by diets lacking in fruits and vegetables. Ellen Muehlhoff is a nutritionist with the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. She says a lot of people cannot get fresh produce.
What is very important is that fruits and vegetables are accessible to people on a daily basis. That means that they must be able to either grow them in their own garden or be able to buy them in the supermarket or the little fruit vendor around the corner shop. So I think that's a very important issue, availability and easy physical access as well.
Muehlhoff says ignorance also plays a role in poor diets.
A lot of people simply don't realize that fruits and vegetables have a very important role for their health, that they have benefits not only in terms of preventing micronutrient deficiencies, but they also have very important benefits in terms of disease prevention. We are learning more every day about the important protective effects of eating fruits and vegetables, such as they provide protection against cardiovascular disease, against diabetes, hypertension, certain types of cancers as well.
Muehlhoff offers the same advice you've heard all your life. Eat more fruits and vegetables, at least 5 servings a day, and make sure your local schools include these items in their lunch menus. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
No doubt his hatred is mainly directed at us. After all, this is the guy that tried to kill my dad.
Every time he says that, I want to say something in response. Of course, I don't dare. So Paul O'Neill, just falling all over himself now to back off from what is in the book written by Ron Suskin. The Price of Loyalty. The title of the book is just astonishingly right on the money, isn't it? The Price of Loyalty. Rumsfeld at the Department of Defense briefing today. Another reporter finally wants to know. Well, okay, let's talk about W's early Iraq plans. The reporter says, my question is that former Secretary O'Neill claims that President Bush had decided to dump Saddam Hussein before 9/11. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know what meetings he was could have been in. All I know that when we arrived, the policy of the United States government since 1998 has been regime change in Iraq. I know that second, one of the early things that the State Department initiated and the United States put forward were adjustments in the sanctions with respect to the United Nations involvement in Iraq. But the idea that he came into, you'd have to ask the president this, but the idea that he came into office with a predisposition to invade Iraq, I think, is a total misunderstanding of the situation.
Mr. Rumsfeld, sir, You scumbag, can you just answer my question? You haven't answered it yet. Huh? Is it true that Bush had decided to use ground forces against Saddam even before 9-1-1? Yes or no? Yes or no, Mr. Weasel? Are you kidding? So another reporter steps up, drops his pants and bends over, looking for clarification on the Iraq issue. And this reporter says, upside down between his legs, "Oh, Mr. Let me stand up. I can't talk like this. Mr. Secretary, a point of clarification on this idea that the administration was predisposed to go to war with Iraq before September 11th. The number of press accounts now, drawing from statements that Paul O'Neill said, a number of press accounts have characterized you personally as pushing for regime change in Iraq in the early spring of 2001. In the early spring of 2001, in cabinet meetings, that you were personally pushing for that. Can you just set the record straight on what your position was then?
Well, in the early spring of 01.
Yeah.
I was not, to my knowledge, to my recollection, pushing for much of anything except transforming the department. We had a very few political appointees were here. Paul Wolfowitz came in, and I looked at it the other day, and it was like, you know, three or four or five people were here as February and March and April came along. And we were all working very hard, doing an awful lot of things that the president had directed us to do. Some of the issues involved Iraq, as I indicated earlier.
Yeah, some of the issues involved Iraq. Finally, a reporter named Jamie asks about the Army War College report. The one we just barely talked about the other night. The Carnegie Institute, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, revealed the results of its investigation. Bush lied. Our soldiers died. Iraqis died. Afghans died. Bush is a murderous liar. Now, that's my characterization, but that's pretty much what the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington said on January 8th in a long-awaited study. Blah, 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 whose major conclusion is that the Bush administration systematically misrepresented the threat from Iraq. The Army's War College has come out with a report that states categorically that the war in Iraq was nonsense, that it had nothing to do with the war on terror. So the reporter says, "Mr. Secretary, I'd just like to ask you about a report published by the Army War College. It's gained some currency because of the reputation of the author, Jeffrey Record." And he says, just very briefly, that the global war on terror, that it was a strategic error to link the war against al-Qaeda with Saddam Hussein's Iraq. That the war against Iraq was not integral to the war on terror, but rather a detour from it, Mr. Secretary, and that the overall war against terror is strategically unfocused, promises more than it can deliver, and threatens to dissipate scarce U.S. military resources over too many ends. Could I just get your general reaction to that criticism?
Take a wild flying guess. I mean, really, Jamie, you're quite right. A person wrote an article, like an op-ed piece, and it's out there. And everyone's free to say whatever they think. That is the position of some people in the United States and in the world, what he repeated. And that's fine. It obviously is inaccurate.
An op-ed piece. An op-ed piece. The Army War College. An author, Jeffrey Record, whose reputation in writing about strategic slash military slash political situations is unblemished. Whose writings have determined the course in previous administrations of military action or not. And what does Rumsfeld refer to it? An op-ed piece? An op-ed piece? No, an op-ed piece is what you write to your local newspaper. That's what goes in the Milwaukee Sentinel or the Toledo Blade or the Journal Constitution. So there you have it. The response to the book that, among other things, seriously quotes former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill. There you have the administration's response. You've seen what it is now. They are very quick in response. They first threaten and try to destroy the person who reveals what's behind this filthy, tattered curtain, these fascists, these pigs in Washington, in the White House and the State Department and the Defense Department. The few people who have tried to pull the curtain back and say, look, America, look what's happening to your country, your system of government. Look what's going on. Hello, look. Not that O'Neill is a hero. O'Neill, you know, I said it the other night, and a lot of you folks took me to task for it, and I don't know, maybe we should revisit that. My position was that O'Neill is a naive little worm who honestly believed that what he was doing had absolutely nothing to do with criticizing George W. Bush. You know, I said that. And bitty-bitty-bang, how many emails did I get in here? And phone calls. People said, no, come on, Mike. He's not naive. This is the crack. This is the crack in everything. That's how the light gets through, as Leonard Cohen says. This is the crack in this monolithic fascist administration. You watch. Paul O'Neill is going to bring the bastards down. Oh? Oh. Really? So, within 36 hours, 48 hours, not only is O'Neill backpedaling like a madman, but it raises the entire issue of why. Why is he disavowing his own statements? Not attributions to him, but his own statements.
Well, the press is mischaracterizing what I said. I didn't,
And the Secretary of Defense steps out there today and makes the comments that you just heard. How would you like it, truth seeker, if the Secretary of Defense of the most powerful fascist nation on the globe started addressing your motives for doing something? Eh? So, consider it a dead issue. It had a life, well, almost. The threats to investigate Paul O'Neill, that has some legs. Immediately, this wonderful fascist government springs to action. Paul O'Neill, oh my God, look what he's done. Investigate him. Find out if any of those documents, there's a cover sheet, I saw it on 60 Minutes. It said secret on it. That's enough to launch an investigation. But the outing of Valerie Plame, putting her life and God knows how many other people's lives in danger? Oh, well, we're trying to find out. Well, I don't know. We'll get around to it. Don't worry. The 911 investigation, 3,000 people dead on...
I don't know. Mr. Daschle, Senator Daschle, this is Dick Cheney. Listen, when you get involved in checking... what occurred prior to 911, don't go too deep, my man.
But where it concerns Paul O'Neill, how long did it take to decide to investigate? Who will be handling the investigation? Henry Kissinger? John Ashcroft? Eh? Max Cleland, maybe. Who will be investigating former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill? What do you suppose they said to him? So where's the outrage? Well, there isn't any. This is America. There's no outrage. I'll tell you where America's focused, right where the media wants you to focus, on these a bunch of people running around in the snow in Iowa and New Hampshire. That's where we're focused.
Oh, did you hear what Dean said today? Well, did you hear what Wesley Clark said? Yeah, but what about Dennis Kucinich? Hey, did you hear about Lieberman? Hey, what about John Edwards there? He got endorsed by the Des Moines Register. Hey, what do you think about the... Hey, what do you...
In the meantime, George W. Bush and his gang of fascists are systematically destroying everything that this country represents, everything that this country has ever been, good and bad, all of it, right down the toilet. And they do it with impunity. Who challenges? Who challenges? Paul Krugman? Okay. Michael Moore? Yeah, all right. Who else? Huh? This little rinky-dink program? Yeah, okay. Who else? Who challenges? John in San Diego sent in this email. I think he sent it in before the revelations today that Paul O'Neill's bowels had turned to water and he had messed his pants all over the NBC studios to the point where he begged for airtime so he could retract his statements. John in San Diego wrote, I think people are missing something in O'Neill's seemingly silly amazement that the Bush administration would attack him for telling the truth. It is indeed silly. He would know that having worked with these people for many years in many different administrations, I have no doubt he is a very, very crafty individual. He knows how to play the game and is smart enough to play it to perfection. He is using the same propaganda manipulation technique that the Republicans use. It's the who, innocent old me approach. It works. He knows it. It works even better if you're first up to the plate. He made sure of that by getting on 60 Minutes as soon as possible. He knows damn well that they cannot actually attack him in any way that would actually damage him. He was a close insider and has information that would blow them and most other industry government insiders out of the water. John, San Diego. John, with no disrespect, sir, I think you wrote your email 12-14 hours too soon. But I don't blame you because, you know, I felt the same way you felt, John, as did, I think, a lot of people in this country. Even though I saw O'Neill as an oily, slick, crafty, cowardly bastard, and other people saw him as perhaps a bomb thrower, a whistleblower, somebody who was willing to take a risk, we were both wrong, weren't we? He's just another Bush pig. And Scott in Michigan wrote, and Scott wrote this, I guess, today. Mike, last night you discussed how the Bush administration began the "it was Clinton's idea" spin on O'Neill's expose in regard to Iraq. If you've noticed, no one is denying O'Neill's allegations, just attacking him for disclosure. Well, guess what, Scott? I guess Scott wrote this last night. Before O'Neill fell all over himself today. Scott goes on, it's interesting how up until now Clinton did nothing about terrorism, according to right-wingers. Now the crime family insists that their day one decision to attack Iraq was just an extension of Clinton's plan against terrorism. What, of course, is not mentioned is the fact that Clinton's plan was all about dismantling Al-Qaeda, not about taking out Saddam and occupying Iraq. And it was a plan that was stifled by the Republican Congress. But without mention of this fact, the Iraq disaster can be made to look like Clinton's fault. Of course. And another thing, if Bush's open border plan fails, which it will, they can again blame Clinton, using NAFTA as the reason. Scott, Michigan. Yeah, Scott. Yeah, John in San Diego. Yeah, 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 everybody. Yeah, let's all, yeah, 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 okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, Paul O'Neill says his account, and the book that he didn't write, as Rumsfeld is so quick to point out, his account, what he said out of his own mouth, has been distorted.
You might say I'm unlearned, but there's the one thing I know. I'm younger than you. Even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Or will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll. All the money you made will never buy back it.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about four and a half before the hour. And as you know, we have a break coming up here momentarily. We'll get to your phone calls right after that break. Retired Army General Hugh Shelton, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, weighed in on, boy, when you have the Secretary of Defense and the former Joint Chiefs dispute what you said in a book that quotes you extensively, I can understand how Paul O'Neill's colon got a little spasmodic over the past 24 hours and caused him to retract everything, pretty much. General Shelton, who retired shortly after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, said he saw nothing to indicate the United States was close to attacking Iraq early in Bush's term, which may or may not be true. Hugh Shelton is the chairman of the Joint, or was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and he's not going to be called into policy meetings attended by the president, the vice president, and this cabal of neocons and American Zionists who operate outside the government. Shelton wouldn't necessarily be called in. But Shelton says the brass, that would be he and his buddies, reviewed what he refers to as on-the-shelf plans to respond to crises within the Bush administration on the shelf. In the administration's first 6 months, the first 6 months of this corrupt George W. Bush administration, Shelton says, quote, I saw nothing that would lead me to believe that we were any closer to attacking Iraq than we had been during the previous administration. Interesting the way that is put. I don't know. It's just astonishing. Just when you think that you can't be shocked by this corrupt administration, something happens like what has happened here in the past 48 hours. Poor Paul O'Neill. All right, quick break here. No, not poor Paul O'Neill. He's vermin to me. He's a piece of human refuse. Always has been, always will be. But in the sense of how they flipped him, huh? Wasn't that cool? Wasn't that cool?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is my
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You why hate
why
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Connecticut Governor John Rollins said Tuesday that he is not swayed by the growing number of calls that he resigned for accepting gifts from state employees and a state contractor and then lying about it. The governor's remarks came a day after Republican U.S. Representative Christopher Shays added his voice to the growing chorus within Rollins' own party for Rollins' resignation. Shays' comments came as six more GOP state senators also urged the Republican governor to resign. 11 of the state's 15 Republican senators have now asked that he step aside. The Hartford Courant reported Tuesday that Rowland privately told Democrats and Republicans that if they move to impeach him, they may find themselves being called by the media about favors and gifts they have received. Some lawyers described the comments, which were made in meetings with lawmakers last week, as veiled threats. The United States is shifting its position on which countries will be allowed to bid for a second round of major reconstruction contracts in Iraq and will allow Canadian firms to compete, a Canadian official said on Tuesday. The official, speaking on the sidelines of a summit of America's leaders in Mexico, said it also was likely that French and German companies would be allowed to compete for the contracts. The United States angered a number of countries late last year when it insisted that only companies from countries that supported the U.S.-led war in Iraq would be allowed to bid for major reconstruction contracts. The Treasury Department has asked for a probe into former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill's possible misuse of documents that may have been classified, a department spokesman said Monday, but O'Neill maintained that he didn't take any documents. Of concern is the document as shown on 60 Minutes that said secret. A spokesman said it was standard operating procedure to refer such a matter to the Treasury's Office of the Inspector General, which investigates potential wrongdoing involving the department. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A 5-inch fishing lure with three nasty steel hooks advises that it is harmful if swallowed. The label took fourth place in the 7th annual Wacky Warning Label Contest, but organizers of the contest, the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch, say it highlights the lengths to which manufacturers will go in order to avoid lawsuits stemming from misuse of consumer products. Taking first prize last week was a warning label found on a bottle of drain cleaner. The label reads, "If you do not understand or cannot read all directions, cautions, and warnings, do not use this product." For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Have you been chipped yet? A company called Applied Digital Solutions wants you to undergo a surgical procedure to implant a tiny RFID microchip in your arm. Why would you want to do this? Because radio frequency ID chips will eliminate the heavy burden of having to carry credit cards and remember your ATM numbers. Instead, your arm becomes your card and ID number. Simply run your arm under a scanner, and your embedded radio chip sends a digital signal to the computer, allowing you to complete your transaction. ADS calls its microchip VeriPay. There's only one rational reason that ADS executives think we'll submit to this. They're insane. Insane, but serious. They insist that this technological leap is needed because many people lose their credit cards. VeriPay solves that problem, says a corporate PR flack, cheerfully noting that ADS's chip is subdermal and very difficult to lose. You don't leave it sitting in the back seat of a taxi, he said. Subdermal or not, your ID number still can be stolen by a geeky thief who rigs up a device to intercept your radio-transmitted number, then plays it back later to your ATM machine, emptying your account. If your number is stolen, or if you simply switch credit card companies or banks, what are you to do? No problem, says the PR guy. If you don't want it anymore, you can go to a doctor and have it removed. I call it an opt-out feature, he said gaily. Swell. Instead of simply calling your credit card company to cancel your card, you'd have to call a surgeon. This is progress. Still, ADS is banking on you to get chipped, as they cheerily put it, even offering a $50 discount to the first 100,000 people who sign up. This is Jim Hightower saying, by the way, the honchos of ADS are such business geniuses that the company's stock plummeted from $12 a share 3 years ago to about 40 cents today. I wouldn't entrust two bits to them, much less my arm.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. Excuse me. So most media outlets now are reporting O'Neill's retraction and O'Neill saying, well, gee, you guys really turned it into a red meat frenzy. I never said this and I never said that. The story is no longer the crimes committed by the Bush administration to take us to war, the lies and distortions and the resulting death. It never is with this group. They're amazing, aren't they? Again, my question would be simply why would anybody in the United States be talking about anything other than this? The fact that it is so clear now, it is so crystal clear, whether it comes from the Army's War College, whether it comes from Paul O'Neill, no matter where it comes from. Whether it comes from the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, whether it comes from the 9-1-1 investigation, it just doesn't matter. No matter where the information comes, that this administration not only was asleep on the job, not only committed impeachable offenses by not protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States subsequent to the attack that they either engineered or allowed on this country. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter how many reports are put out there. We will still have X amount of time, and it's X becoming X squared or X plus X or X plus Y, that amount of time on Kobe Bryant and Michael Jackson and Martha Stewart But here, an illegally appointed gang of fascists run the country. Jesus, is anybody paying any attention to this other than you and me? They run the country. They're destroying the country. They're taking us to wars. They're causing us to die. And the networks are talking about Rush Limbaugh's drug problem, or whether or not Al Franken is going to be on the air opposite the Pig Man, or what Michael Jackson's. Oh, Jesus. I just wonder why we are talking about anything. By we, I mean national media, national dialogue, over the water cooler or the coffee machine. You know, why are we talking about anything other than what this Bush administration has done? Oh, my God. But we won't. And because we will not talk about it, and because the media will not discuss it, George W. Bush will most probably have another 4 years to further destroy this country and further bring about the lockdown of fascism in this country. And I don't know about you. I mean, I'm like you. I've got mortgage payments. I've got a house. I've got credit card debt. I've got car payments. I've got kids and grandkids and on and on. I've got a pregnant wife. I've got all of this stuff working. But I'll tell you something. When George Bush, if he is selected, appointed, or elected to be president of the United States, I do not want to be here. I don't want my children here. I don't want my grandchildren here. I don't want anything to do with what's going to happen in this country with another 4 years of these monsters in power. This first 4 years, the groundwork, the framework, the spade work, whatever you want to call it, the foundations have been laid. Nobody except blithering right-wing morons would be able to fail to see the parallels. We've been talking about this, the parallels between Germany in the 30s and the United States under George W. Bush. The groundwork, the spade work, the preliminary work is done. And besides, we'll probably be unemployed anyway, so it really doesn't matter. All right, enough. Brian is calling from New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I'd like to add to that, and if America was truly the free speech favoring meritocracy that these Republicans are always whining about, then the Mike Malloy show will be on the national airwaves, equivalent to the Limbaugh.
Yeah, well,
and Tom Hartman would be as well.
Right.
And maybe I'm hoping for that Anshel Media, that kind of thing to possibly.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. Whatever.
Yeah, but about Paul O'Neill, I remember a book I read on Bended Knee about the press in the 1980s and Ronald Reagan by Mark Hertzgard, as a great journalist. David Stockman, after he had released his things talking about Reagan's economic policy were just madness for the future stability of the country, and he was later retracting some of his statements too, and also that this gets right to the Republican way of, which it's a fascist way of thinking. You're right, Mike. Stockman later wrote this from page 117 of On Bended Knee. David Stockman later wrote was that the White House was framing the question in far more political, compelling, and dramatic terms. Mm-hmm. Are you with Ronald Reagan or against him? End
sure.
quote. That's
sure.
how Stockman qualified, and that's like the title of Mr. Of the Susskind's books,
mm-hmm.
and it gets down to the same way of it's anti-democratic non-thought. It's just it's got nothing to do. It's just about Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. What he's talking about today so casually is that he's saying that they had plans to overthrow Iraq going back to Clinton in 1998. But and that what in effect he's saying is when George Bush is saying in this meeting, find me a way to do this at his first National Security Council meeting, that if it's such a casual everyday thing they talked about, why are they going after Paul O'Neill with the Treasury Department and maybe the FBI after that?
Yeah.
Why are they going after him so hot and heavy with it when they? It's because they. There's so much. I know Karl Rove is the guy that made the call to Paul O'Neill. I'm almost certain of it. This is the guy. He's the son of a guy who constructed concentration camps in Hitler's Germany. There's much information to support that. This bunch, Mike. I don't know. I pray a lot, but I don't know that there's a peaceful way to to solve this in the long-term history of America. I said that. Mike Malloy didn't say that. I said that. And but I've called before. I just called the show before Peter B. Collins. I knew a lot of – there's a guy, John Buchanan. He was the guy that had the Prescott Bush piece in NewHampshireGazette.com about his dealing with the Nazis. And that made the initial family fortune for that George W. Bush today lives on, the cushy lifestyle, was made in 1924 to 1951 by Prescott Bush's banking with the Nazis, living off of the slave labor, the death camp labor, Hitler regime. You can't clean that up.
But nobody, but you see, in America, that doesn't matter. None
That's
of this
the global economy to these bastards, or what is it?
I don't know what
it's evil to me.
Yeah, well, I hear you. I understand you, Brian. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you.
I understand what you're saying, but you know we can go round and round like this, like a rabid dog trying to eat its own tail. We live in the United States of America, Brian. All of us do, who, for the most part, who listen to this program. We have a lot of people who listen to this program overseas, but they have their own problems. We live here in the fascist states of America. That's what we are becoming, the United Soviet Socialist States, the United Soviet States of America. And it will be fascism. And it is so here. I mean, please, it is so here. It is so arrived. It is so being put in place. Right? Oh, my God. But we, for whatever reason, we don't care. I mean, if you stopped the average person on the street and said, do you care that fascism is coming to America? That person might say, well, yeah, I care. But that person would look at you and say, what are you talking about? Fascism coming to America? What does this have something to do with Michael Jackson? What are you talking about? Fascism? What? And as much as I blame my fellow countrymen, a couple of you have taken me to task about it and said, you know, it's the media. The media is falling down on this job. Okay, I'll concede that to a certain extent. But the media fails you, and you get the information you need to have. The media fails me. I get the information I need to have. You know, I just can't see cutting slack to Americans who are, we're involved in two wars right now. For God's sake, does nobody know that? We have dead Americans coming home in coffins. We're killing and bombing and strafing. We're wiping out entire families of civilians. Does nobody know about this? Nobody care. I can't afford my mortgage. I can't afford paying for my credit card debt. I can't. I'm worried about. Is that it? Even that is not enough to galvanize people against this corrupt administration. 56, 58, whatever the number is, a percent of Americans still support these people. Still say, oh, yeah, I think George Bush is doing a good job. Yeah. I love him. Oh, God, he's just like me. He's dumb and he's ignorant and he's a freak. Is that... So anyway, Brian, we live in America, and for people who are listening overseas to this program on the Internet, God help us. This country is going to come to your country, wherever you're listening, even the UK. If you're listening there, we're going to come and devour you. It's just the way Richard Pearl and Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these thugs think. It doesn't make any difference. Even you countries that are peopled mostly with whites who speak an English, they're going to come and get you, too. You know, you're further down the list, but... I mean, look at Hitler. Hitler didn't give a damn. He attacked white people, didn't he? Huh? He attacked his allies, didn't he? The Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, their January 8th report that the Bush administration systematically misrepresented the Iraq situation. And the report comes out, and it goes nowhere. I mean, who reads the report? Why isn't Wolf Blitzer talking about this? Why isn't Judy Woodruff talking about this? Why isn't Peter Jennings or Dan Rather? Well, I guess Dan Rather's dealing with skin cancer right now. But why aren't the anchors on television, whether it's cable or over the air, why aren't they saying, look, this respected organization has just come out with a report. Bush administration officials lied, and took us to war. So, Brian, or anybody else, you know, people don't care. We care around this little electronic campfire at night, but we're about it. You know what I'm saying?
We know what you're fighting for.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Man.
American people know my position, and that is that regime change is in the interest of the world. How we achieve that is a matter of deliberation, which I do. I'm a patient man.
Jeez. Well, the British press, the Australian press, the German press, the Canadian press, even the Italian press, surprisingly, since it's all owned by the fascist Berlusconi, the Russian press, the Japanese press, the Venezuelan press, the Chilean press, the Brazilian press, and yes, the Mexican press, all of these fourth estates around the planet. Did I mention Australia and New Zealand? Are reporting the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace report about the lies told by this corrupt, filthy administration. All the press around the world is reporting the fact that the Bush administration is quietly withdrawing 400 members of this military team that has scoured Iraq for non-existent weapons. For the past 7 months they've been looking, spent hundreds of millions of dollars, found nothing. So the press around the world understands it is we here inside this First Amendment zone here in America that don't understand what this government has done. I'm not talking about you. You understand. But the rest of the world's media reports this stuff. What does our media report? Yeah. The Carnegie Report, this is in the San Francisco Chronicle. They report about the report. They say the Carnegie Report, a serious indictment of the Bush administration's credibility, instantly became the lead story on the BBC, front page news in newspapers around the world, not so in the United States. Of course not. Of course not. Armand is calling from Florida. Armand, welcome to the program. Hello? Okay, we'll come back to Armand. Let's see who we got here. Jerry is calling from Tulsa. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Mike. First off, just a caveat, I'm on a cell phone. I'd normally call you on my regular phone, but I've had audio trouble with this.
So okay.
If we get cut off, that's why. Have you heard about Kevin Phillips' new book that's out regarding Bush? He was doing a book tour the other day on C-SPAN, basically talking that Karl Rove's M.O., method of operation, he gets primarily from Machiavelli.
I'm aware that the writer Kevin Phillips has a book out. Do I know anything about it? No, I do not. Nothing.
It's worth taking a look at his little discussion on C-SPAN. I'm sure it'll be on like the book TV thing they have or whatever.
Right.
But, again, it's pretty interesting. He doesn't shy away from any of the conspiracy stuff about Bush. You know, Berlusconi's back in court now.
Well, I had heard a little bit about that, but he'll be out of court with, I doubt, any charges. You know, fascists have a way of sticking together, and Italy has a long and glorious history of fascism.
Yeah, apparently that's I'm beginning to read about that or learn about that. But speaking of the fascism in this White House, you know, it's very interesting. It's very obvious that one of the techniques that they use is to lean on people with phone calls.
Yeah.
I mean, how many witnesses have talked about that? You know, Daschle talks about how Condoleezza Rice is used effectively as a
hand. Well, so did Bush and so did Cheney use it on Gephardt and what's his name, Daschle. Hey, hold on a second. We'll come back to you, Jerry. Got to take a quick break here. Stay with us, folks. I'm Mike Malloy.
Never take me the wrong way. You know you can't go on. Maybe you're on the plane. Cause if you do, it's going to get Sunday.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A growing health crisis comes down to one simple fact. People are not eating their vegetables. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The World Health Organization estimates that 3 million people die each year because they don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. That makes this diet deficiency almost as risky as smoking. And the problem is found in every country, rich and poor alike. Some of the world's most widespread nutritional disorders, including birth defects, weakened immune systems, and blindness, are caused by diets lacking in fruits and vegetables. Ellen Muehlhoff is a nutritionist with the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. She says a lot of people cannot get fresh produce.
What is very important is that fruits and vegetables are accessible to people on a daily basis. That means that they must be able to either grow them in their own garden or be able to buy them in the supermarket or the little fruit vendor around the corner shop. So I think that's a very important issue, availability and easy physical access as well.
Muehlhoff says ignorance also plays a role in poor diets.
A lot of people simply don't realize that fruits and vegetables have a very important role for their health, that they have benefits not only in terms of preventing micronutrient deficiencies, but they also have very important benefits in terms of disease prevention. We are learning more every day about the important protective effects of eating fruits and vegetables, such as they provide protection against cardiovascular disease, against diabetes, hypertension, certain types of cancers as well.
Muehlhoff offers the same advice you've heard all your life. Eat more fruits and vegetables, at least 5 servings a day, and make sure your local schools include these items in their lunch menus. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylor Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, we're talking with Jerry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, pick it up wherever we were there, Jerry.
Okay, well, just while we're on the topic, I do think it's important for Americans to understand that, like you were talking about fascism in Europe with Berlusconi or whatnot, during World War II in Germany, it is important to understand that a lot of the industrialists like Farben, who financed the fascists, basically survived the war, did quite well, and came over here.
Sure. Well, when you have fascism, by definition, it doesn't make any difference what I mean. Even Japanese fascism, the corporate entities that that funded the Japanese war machine are still in existence. We still buy Toyotas or Hondas or whatever the hell they are.
She's right.
Yeah, the one thing that always survives war if you live in a fascist country, are the engines of the fascism that got you into the war to begin with, which are these right-wing extreme industrialists who care not a whit about human rights or labor rights or nothing. What they care about is...
As long as their youth are as strong as Krupp steel.
Well, right. Yeah.
And again, I think it's important to remind people of that, because that's... Kevin Phillips' book, as I was talking about earlier, does kind of engender this discussion about the fascists coming over here, and again about Prescott Bush and what else. But just very quickly, an anecdote about my cousins and my aunt,
mm-hmm.
Who have grown up. Their father had a very successful international tourism business here in Tulsa. I really don't want to say the name, but it's one of the biggest ones here in town.
Right.
Divorced long ago, the dad sold the business, kept the kids employed. Their livelihoods depend upon tourism. And they are the same type of people that would act so viscerally to any kind of condemnation of Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an example of what you're talking about, of what it's going to take. After this last Christmas holiday, it's obvious. They're going to destroy the airline industry, come hell or high water, as long as it just reminds people that Bush is in office.
Right. You're certainly making my argument. I don't know what it's going to take. I honestly don't, Jerry. I don't. I have no idea. I wish I did.
Well, I graduated from OSU at Maugham just recently.
You from what?
OSU at Maugham recently, just a 2-year trade school is all it is. Vocational school, engineering, graphics.
Right.
But my job choices, I think, are kind of interesting. I can go to work for Halliburton Special Services, Walmart, designing Walmart,
uh-huh.
which is actually probably my best option, or go to work for the BIA.
Or you can go overseas. There are companies around the globe who would love to have an American, an educated American, step in and take a job.
Well, go build toll roads in Afghanistan.
That's a good one. Thanks, Jerry.
I appreciate it, Mark.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. We have a new element of the program. It's called Uncle Mike's Essay of the Week. We don't have any music for it. But, let's until we do get music, do you have Uncle Mike's story corner music over there? Like I say, it's a new segment or new element of the program called Uncle Mike's Essay of the Week. And this one was sent into the program here by Doc, one of our listeners out in Wisconsin. And Doc doesn't tell me where it came from. But that's okay. I want you to hear it anyway. Hey, gather around, children. Time for a new segment in the Mike Malloy Show called Uncle Mike's Essay of the Week. And it's brand new. Can you say brand new? The title of the essay of the week is, Are You Angry Yet? Well, you should be. You've been lied to. Your tax money has been taken from you and spent under false pretenses. Your children have been sent off to kill and be killed in an illegal war launched without congressional approval. You who fought in the war and think you came back home healthy, well, you've been lied to as well. Your health is all downhill from here. Ask any vet from Desert Storm. And your children will have a higher incidence of birth defects because that depleted uranium isn't as harmless as you were told it was. And those VA medical benefits you were promised? That was a lie, too. Are you angry yet? And those of you who sold your better judgment for a free hot dog and a flag at a Clear Channel Radio-sponsored pro-Bush rally, well, you were lied to as well, and worse, made to look totally stupid before the rest of the world. The media, which walked right past peace demonstrations to videotape the Clear Channel party, plastered your face across the TV sets of the planet, waving your flag and shouting, "Sieg WMD! Sieg WMD!" and singing, "Dubia, dubia, uber alles!" or something to that effect. And here you stand now with egg on your collective faces, finally facing up to what your more intelligent neighbors knew all along. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Bush made a total fool of you. The whole world is laughing at you. Those lacking the courage to admit they were wrong will no doubt descend into the ranks of fanatical true believers ready to drink the Kool-Aid for His Highness's Der Dubier. But the rest of you, brave enough to admit you were fooled, are you angry yet? And for you congressional types reading this website, and I know that many of you do, Bush made total jackasses out of you as well. Under the Constitution, which you are sworn to uphold, only Congress can declare war. Changing the name to police action or battle does not get you off the hook. When our army marches into another nation to take it over, that's a war by any meaningful definition of the word. So, you passed a bill that authorized the president to send in the military to Iraq, but only if the president could prove that Saddam was hiding weapons of mass destruction in defiance of UN Resolution 1441. Remember? The president said he had proof, and you did not check him on it. And now that the world knows that Bush did not actually have any proof, the world knows that the United States Congress failed in their job. You were had, used, swindled, conned. Bush bypassed you. He got his illegal war right past you. The president has made the entire Congress look like weak and impotent idiots and fools before the rest of the world for not exercising due diligence over a serious matter like war. Are you angry yet? Our media has tried to teach us all that hate and anger are bad. Anger must be managed. Hate of any and all kinds must be suppressed. Well, I'm here to tell you that certain hates and angers are not only justified, they are essential. I hate drug dealers, don't you? I hate liars, don't you? I hate spies who use deception to trick our nation into doing things it ought not be doing. Hate and anger helped drive the British out of the colonies in 1776. Hate and anger fueled the victory of World War II, which is why Bush, with his lies, tried to trick us all, or at least the gullible ones, into hating and being angry at a designated target for invasion. I am very angry. Screw anger management. I am pissed off. If you carry any of the blood of those who made this nation what it is today, you have to be angry too. You should be angry. You must be angry. Because right now there's a battle about to start over whether this nation will continue to be ruled by those who lie, or whether the liars will be kicked out, whether we will have honest government or not, whether we will be slaves to liars or free citizens with honorable and respectful and fair government. Are you angry yet? Be angry. Be very angry. Hate liars. Focus your anger on them. Drive them from office and from the media. There is no other choice but permanent servitude. Are you angry yet? Well, that was fun, wasn't it, kiddies? Where's the rest of the music? Is that the end of the music? There. Bring it up. I love that. Uncle Mike's Essay of the Week, a new segment of the program. We will probably be doing it. Well, wait a minute. We're not going to be here that much longer. I was going to say maybe once a month, but we're only going to be here in February, if that long, and then we're gone. Whee! Is Armand there now?
Yes, I am.
Well, hello, Armand. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and I apologize for earlier, but I really did pick the phone up, and it was history.
No problem.
In Bush's America, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So what's up, Armin?
Well, I'd like to talk about a few points, if I may. First off, I'm fully convinced that Hitler never would have rose without the media and the legal system. And we have a media and we have a legal system. So whatever our destiny is, I attribute a lot of it to the media and the legal system. Regardless of the people being informed or not, a lot of it rides on the media and legal system. And I had an idea, and I wanted to see what you thought of this. The different media institutions in this country that seem like they're going out of their way to not cover the things that people really should know in detail, like foreign newspapers are, about the Bush crime family, what do you think if some people would take picket signs and peaceably and lawfully and legally, with permits if necessary, start picketing the different news media institutions in this country, and on one side of their sign or their ballot or whatever, their picket, would be the headlines and the story from a different foreign newspaper of the day.
Okay, wait, Armin, way too confusing. This is America. We don't do things like that. We have been conditioned since the 50s, since television, to accept things in 30-second lumps, and sometimes now, with the advent of MTV, in half-second lumps. What you are suggesting is utterly, completely, and totally impossible. I'm sorry, it's a great idea. It might work in a movie, but it won't work in real life.
Well, I don't mean to disagree with you, but I think it would because
Armin, wait. For you and I to disagree about this is utterly ridiculous. What you need to do is get 100 like souls down there in Bradenton and go to your local television station and pick it and see what happens. Having worked in media, having picketed CNN, having picketed the Washington Post, having been there and done that, and watched the resultant reaction from the American public, which was zero, I'm just telling you that, well, your idea is good, and I really acknowledge it and honor it and respect it and cheer it and clap it on, go ahead. But it's too involved. This is America. We do lunch in 22 minutes. We do an entire day's newscast every night on ABC, NBC, and CBS in 21 minutes. Okay? So what you're suggesting, while it looks good and sounds good, who will pay any attention to it?
I think that the news establishments will have to, because on one side of the billboard would have the story that pointed out the stuff that we talk about on the show, and a lot of websites talk about on the show about the abuses of this regime and how it's unlawful and unconstitutional and unjust and unethical and immoral. And we would have the headlines of newspapers from around the world that are established. They're not just some wacko, and they can't be demonized as liberal lefties. And then on the other side of the billboard or the thing with the article on one side, and then on the other side it say, where's NBC? Or where's CBS?
Okay.
Or where's CNN?
Okay.
And there's only so long that they could try to cover this up through the media. And you know, you're saying that people are used to sound bites and short attention span and very little time element exposed to this stuff. Look, it took these people 20 years to get where they are today.
Okay.
For 20 years they've had Limbaugh on there. 20 years they've had all these right-wing liars on there spewing out all this propaganda.
Okay, Armin. I have to step in because we're running out of time here. Now, let me reiterate, because we're just going round and round. If you believe in your idea, go for it, okay?
Okay.
You don't need to try to convince me, because for two reasons. First of all, you will never convince me that idea would work. And secondly, I'm not the one that needs to to be convinced. You're preaching to the choir. I understand what you're trying to do, to try to get the message out, and I wholly support you on it. But if you came to me and said, Mike, I want to write the Constitution on marbles and roll them down the street so that people will pick up the marbles and read the Constitution, I would say to you, Armand, that is a worthless, hopeless idea, and that's what I'm saying about this. I'm sorry, I don't mean to pee on your parade. I don't mean to be a wet blanket or a wet fish or whatever the expression is, but I'm just telling you, it doesn't and will not work, not in this America. In the America of 50 years ago, your idea would work, and you would probably wind up with your face on the cover of Time magazine. But we're not in the America of 50 years ago. We're in an America, Bush's America, and a lot of it Bush had nothing to do with. It's the America of the 10, 15, 20-second soundbite. Give me 10 words and get out of my face. And that's what it's about. Armand, got a boogie. I appreciate your call. What I should hear and see. You take away freedom of choice. Take away the right to voice. My beliefs and all I do. You take away my right to choose. Show me what should I see. Make my mind up for me. Show me what should I see.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm
Tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. What's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Email from Greg in Maryland says, Mike, I think the locker room crowd is running things, the football mentality crowd, the macho, strutting, posturing male crowd, the ones who don't read books. Look, invading Iraq allowed Bush to, one, impress his father, two, become a wartime and so-called respected president, three, become a so-called hero and protector, four, increase his wealth, five, enrich his buddies. So, why would he pass up on such an opportunity? Why doesn't the public notice? Because, one, he wears a suit and walks stiffly. Two, he is president. The public assumes he does what's best and has expert knowledge and wisdom, which is, of course, not the case. And three, the press fails to inform the public. Maybe we need to see a crowd of rabid protesters outside of CNN and MSNBC. Greg in Maryland. Well, there you go. Armand, you have a soul brother in Maryland named Greg. You guys need to connect and let me know how it goes. And I'm not trying to be a smart ass. I'm not. I'm not trying to be facetious with you. It's just that media don't care. Oh my God. I mean, newspapers and magazines still occasionally run letters to the editor. I mean, they do. Of course they do. But and now they have ombudsmen at the various newspapers to tell you why they didn't pick your letter. Television has Wolf at CNN.com. Hey, send me your comments on whether or not you think Kobe Bryant ought to burn in hell. You know, they don't get media. Media do not care. I guess the problem, a lot of people in this country still believe that your local radio or television station or your local newspaper is hometown. And I guess if you live in, East Elbow, Indiana, that may be the case. But for those who don't live in East Elbow, Indiana, or the equivalent in New York or Georgia or California, your local television, radio, or newspaper is not home-owned. It has nothing to do with what goes on in your town. Oh, they'll have a metro section that talks about the crime reports in your neighborhood. But do you honestly believe that picketing CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, ABC, NBC, or CBS will have an effect? Trust me, just this one time. Like I've never lied to you that I'm aware of. Trust me on this. They don't care. what you think or how you react to what they do.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The United States is shifting its position on which countries will be allowed to bid for a second round of major reconstruction contracts in Iraq and will allow Canadian firms to compete, a Canadian official said on Tuesday. The official, speaking on the sidelines of a summit of America's leaders in Mexico, said it also was likely that French and German companies would be allowed to compete for the contracts. The United States angered a number of countries late last year when it insisted that only companies from countries that supported the U.S.-led war in Iraq would be allowed to bid for major reconstruction contracts. Connecticut Governor John Rollins said Tuesday that he is not swayed by the growing number of calls that he resigned for accepting gifts from state employees and a state contractor and then lying about it. The governor's remarks came a day after Republican U.S. Representative Christopher Shays added his voice to the growing chorus within Rollins' own party for Rollins' resignation. Shays' comments came as six more GOP state senators also urged the Republican governor to resign. 11 of the state's 15 Republican senators have now asked that he step aside. The Hartford Courant reported Tuesday that Rowland privately told Democrats and Republicans that if they move to impeach him, they may find themselves being called by the media about favors and gifts they have received. Some lawyers described the comments, which were made in meetings with lawmakers last week, as veiled threats. The Treasury Department has asked for a probe into former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill's possible misuse of documents that may have been classified, a department spokesman said Monday, but O'Neill maintained that he didn't take any documents. Of concern is the document as shown on 60 Minutes that said secret. A spokesman said it was standard operating procedure to refer such a matter to the Treasury's Office of the Inspector General, which investigates potential wrongdoing involving the department. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Miami man who lived on a golf course for 40 years was told to leave because some golfers complained that he scared them. Other golfers, however, claim the man is harmless and say he should be allowed to stay. Kenny Bethel first showed up at the country-owned golf course after he ran away from home in 1963. He collected and resold stray golf balls, used the club's showers and toilets at night, and slept in a sheltered area that housed the showers. For the last 9 years, he had been joined by his wife, Frances. They have since relocated to a space under a nearby bridge. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Have you been chipped yet? A company called Applied Digital Solutions wants you to undergo a surgical procedure to implant a tiny RFID microchip in your arm. Why would you want to do this? Because radio frequency ID chips will eliminate the heavy burden of having to carry credit cards and remember your ATM numbers. Instead, your arm becomes your card and ID number. Simply run your arm under a scanner and your embedded radio chip sends a digital signal to the computer, allowing you to complete your transaction. ADS calls its microchip VeriPay. There's only one rational reason that ADS executives think we'll submit to this. They're insane. Insane, but serious. They insist that this technological leap is needed because many people lose their credit cards. VeriPay solves that problem, says a corporate PR flack, cheerfully noting that ADS's chip is subdermal and very difficult to lose. You don't leave it sitting in the back seat of a taxi, he said. Subdermal or not, your ID number still can be stolen by a geeky thief who rigs up a device to intercept your radio-transmitted number, then plays it back later to your ATM machine, emptying your account. If your number is stolen, or if you simply switch credit card companies or banks, what are you to do? No problem, says the PR guy. If you don't want it anymore, you can go to a doctor and have it removed. I call it an opt-out feature, he said gaily. Swell. Instead of simply calling your credit card company to cancel your card, you'd have to call a surgeon. This is progress. Still, ADS is banking on you to get chipped, as they cheerily put it, even offering a $50 discount to the first 100,000 people who sign up. This is Jim Hightower saying, by the way, the honchos of ADS are such business geniuses that the company's stock plummeted from $12 a share 3 years ago to about 40 cents today. I wouldn't entrust two bits to them, much less my arm.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Before we go back to your phone calls here, just very quickly, the Supreme Court has given, the U.S. Supreme Court has given police, various police agencies, leeway to use random roadblocks to track down criminals. They're called informational roadblocks to collect tips about crimes. You know, the move to fascism is never just the appearance of Sieg Heil and the banners and martial music. It's in little incremental steps, and this is just another one. Supreme Court justice has said that police checkpoint stops, when used to seek information about recent crimes, do not violate the privacy rights of other motorists. Now, what they did, what the Supreme Court did, was overturn a decision by the Illinois Supreme Court, which had ruled that it was not an emergency in 1997 when officers stopped cars in an intersection outside Chicago to pass out leaflets seeking information about a fatal hit and run. Illinois Supreme Court said that's not an emergency. Well, you can't just stop civilians, motorists at random. You can't do it. This is the United States. This is not the old Soviet Union. It's not China. It's not communist Poland. It's not fascist Germany. It's the United States. You can't do it. Well, the Supreme Court ruled today that yes, you can. Three justices said no, you can't. The usual gang, John Paul Stevens, David Souter, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The case was a follow-up to a 2000 Supreme Court ruling that roadblocks intended for drug searches are an unreasonable invasion of privacy under the Constitution. That was then. This is now. So if you are stopped now and a cop sticks his face inside your vehicle and says, hey, We're looking for somebody who robbed a grocery store over there. And you don't like being stopped for that? Shut up. Answer his questions. Don't say a word. Carl is calling from Des Plaines, Illinois. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
You know, you're talking about fascism, and I've heard you talk about this a number of times. And I share the same frustration you do is when you speak to most Americans about corporate fascism and the rise of the fascist state, the American version, you get these blank looks. They literally have no clue what you're talking about.
Right.
Umberto Eco, the internationally acclaimed writer, intellectual,
right,
and philosopher,
mm-hmm,
he's published one of the greatest essays I've ever read. By which you can test an organization or social institution for signs of fascist tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a book called Five Moral Pieces. It's one of the most cogent, clearly articulated, and useful checklists for this purpose that I've ever read. So, of course, it's virtually unknown in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But
what's the title again?
The name of the book is called Five Moral Pieces.
P-I-E-C-E-S, Five Moral Pieces?
Five Moral Pieces, yep, by Umberto Eco, E-C-O.
Right.
I know you're familiar with the name, but
yes,
maybe not everyone is.
Well, it's very reminiscent of Jack Nicholson's Five Easy Pieces, but never mind.
Well, true. Same but different, I guess.
Right, same but different.
A couple of these points, I just want to read. I'm not going to go through the checklist. I'm not going to bore you or your audience, but there's a couple pieces here which are just unbelievable. And these are some bulleted points from this essay. And he says, rationalism also depends on the cult of action for action's sake. Action,
mm-hmm,
is beautiful in itself and therefore must be implemented before any form of reflection. Thinking is a form of emasculation. Therefore, culture is suspect insofar as it is identified with critical attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
From the statement attributed to Goebbels, when I hear talk of culture, I take out this pistol. To the frequent use of expressions like goddamn intellectuals, eggheads, radical snobs, the university is our den of communists, suspicion of intellectual life has always been a symptom of fascism.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, the official fascist intellectuals were mainly committed to accusing modern culture and the liberal intelligentsia of having abandoned traditional values.
Well, there you go.
You know? And there's the whole checklist is just this dynamite, and
mm-hmm,
is very easy to understand. And when you apply it to what is happening in this country, it would be an eye opener.
Five moral pieces, Umberto Eco.
Umberto Eco. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully somebody listening to the program tonight will maybe check that out. I wrote it down as you mentioned it, and maybe we'll check it out too.
Oh, it's dynamite. And one last thing before I let you go.
Sure.
Mike. When you refer to 21 minutes of news,
mm-hmm,
I have to confess, I don't know what you're talking about, because that's 21 minutes of news after commercial. But once we've had our video game review segment, we're down to 19 minutes.
All right.
Once we hear live music, it's 15.
Okay, hard news, maybe 8 minutes. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I think it's three or two.
Yeah, it's so, getting close to that.
All right. Good night, Mike.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate you checking in. Oh, by the way, once again, a news item ignored by American media. International news sources are reporting that French law enforcement authorities have made Dick Cheney the target of a criminal investigation for his role in a massive bribery scandal during his time as CEO of Halliburton. Le Figaro, one of France's biggest and most conservative newspapers, reports, quote, an investigative judge is looking into allegations of corruption during construction of a natural gas complex in Nigeria by Halliburton and a French oil company, end quote. According to a gas and oil trade publication, the story was picked up by the Associated Press Newswire on October 11th, 2003. The judge is, quote, looking into who may have benefited from nearly $200 million in potentially illegal commissions allegedly handed out from 1990 to 2002. In May, Halliburton admitted that under Cheney's stewardship, it paid $2.4 million in bribes to Nigerian officials to get favorable tax treatment. Blah, 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 blah. The London Financial Times reports the investigation specifically focuses on the criminal charges of misuse of corporate funds and corruption of foreign public agents. The Sydney Australia Morning Herald reports the investigative judge is specifically targeting Cheney for his alleged complicity in the abuse of corporate assets. The UK Guardian notes it would be prosecuted under international laws agreed to by the United States in a 35-nation treaty signed in 1997, meaning the consequences could be very real. And it goes on and on here. Being reported in major media, let me ask you, Truth Seeker, when did you hear about this story? When did I hear about it? Oh, 4 hours ago. Who sent me this? I guess our senior correspondent sent this in, Chris in Minnesota. It's from alternet.org. You can find it. That's where it's carried in the United States, alternet.org, under the headline, Cheney Target of Criminal Investigation. Was this on Wolf Blitzer? Was this on Judy Woodruff? Was this on any of these corpulent, pasty-faced thugs that show up on television, left, right, up and down? Did Peter Jennings mention this tonight? Did anyone mention, not tonight, last week, a month ago, 6 days ago, 47 minutes ago? No, nobody did. Not in this country, but all over the rest of the world. Why do they hate us? Because we buy houses, I guess. I guess that would be it. Mike is calling from China.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You're calling from China?
I'm actually calling from Guangzhou, which is where the SARS outbreak started, and they're talking about maybe having another one here. Not too many people are really afraid on the ground here, but that's the place.
Well, so, I am very impressed. Are you listening to this program? It must be daylight there.
Yeah, it's just after noon here. The next day, it's actually Wednesday here, just like 12:20 or so.
Well, I am I'm kind of blown away. What prompted you to call from China?
And that's exactly why I wanted to call. I know I've gotten new jobs or downsized before. I know you guys' morale has to be kind of low right now, and I just wanted to remind you that you're affecting people all over the world. I know you got pretty excited when someone called from New Zealand. This is almost as far as New Zealand, just about the same plane ride from there.
It is indeed. What do you do in China, Mike?
I actually teach at a university here in Guangzhou, teach chemistry. Moved here from Los Angeles last year, and part of it was to get out of the insane U.S., get away from Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you talk about leaving the country and moving somewhere else, I guess I did it.
Do you teach in a Chinese language, or do you teach in English?
I actually teach in the international school, so they're dying for people to teach in actual English here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my students are from Hong Kong. They speak English pretty well. So, It's not a problem, believe it or not.
Well, you're right about reading about Guangzhou, where the latest suspected case of SARS has been confirmed now. How do you live with that there on a daily basis? What's it like?
I'm not really afraid of it at all. It was a lot worse last year. I wasn't afraid of it then. People aren't really concerned with it right here, right now. It does get kind of panicky. But the government has really stepped up to anti-SARS awareness and procedures, taking your temperature just about every place you go now with these little infrared sensors. So I really don't see it happening again.
I realize your time is probably limited here, but what is it like to be an American in 20 words or less, if you can, living in China as it makes this transition? I understand, of course, the government is still communist, but they're trying to move towards capitalism. It must be a very odd sensation.
For one thing, it's really embarrassing because I immediately get branded with people like Bush and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you know, I want to be taken seriously, and sometimes they kind of look at me. You think you're getting away from it, but you never really do.
Mm-hmm.
So that part is unfortunate. But people in the U.S. have a lot of strange ideas about the communist China part of this. There is some level of democracy here that doesn't really get reported over there, of course.
Well, I'm very impressed that you call, Mike. Thank you. You honor me in listening to the program that far away from home. Thank you so much.
That's why I called. I knew it would buoy your spirit.
It did indeed. Thank you.
Keep the faith, bud.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 911.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass. Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Damn, I hate these breaks, especially when you get a call from Guangzhou, China, and you have to break to do commercials, right? Anyway, thanks, Mike. I do appreciate your spending the money to make the phone call. I mean, what the hell? I might as well say it. But God, I wish we could have talked longer. Love to travel to China, wouldn't you, Kathy? Kathy says, she mouths the words, but I'm pregnant. I mean, after. Donald in Augusta, Georgia sent this. Mike, your frustration is only a sampling of the frustration I feel every day. I feel like we're in a bubble looking out on the rest of America like it is some bad movie. You know what? The only thing that will sink too stupid to be president is a drastic downturn in the markets. That Carnegie report is the latest in a line of disclosures that this moron should have been impeached over. Hey, I have an idea. Let's plant a Monica Lewinsky in the White House, and then maybe we can impeach the fool because the moral Americans couldn't abide a president getting a BJ. But he can lie, cheat, steal, break international laws, commit mass murder, make America a pariah nation, and treat Americans and their tax dollars like his own little prostitutes. And hey, that's fine. Just don't upset the Bible-toting Christians by having a tryst with a subordinate. God'll get you. Donald in Augusta, Georgia. Well, Donald, you sound a little cynical. Donald, you sound... Oh, by the way, I meant to mention this, and, you know, just you get so distracted. Our friends at radiopower.org, Shelby LaPrey's website, are still trying to get together the bills, the bill money for this month. So if you're so inclined, go to... Especially if you listen on radiopower.org, there are several ways to listen to this program, and that's one of them. And plus, if you miss this program, when it's live, you can go there, like whiterosesociety.org, and pick up the, what do you call it, MP3? Is it? You can download it. Shelby, as usual, since it's a liberal or a progressive or a left-wing, or well, it really isn't. I mean, there's so much at her website. It staggers the imagination. If you haven't been there, go. If you don't want to contribute money, that's okay, or can't, that's okay. Just see what she has there. But if you do want to contribute a few bucks, would you? Radiopower.org. She's like Bart Kopp and the rest of them. She's part of PayPal, I believe, so it's very easy to do. Radiopower.org. Check it out. I don't mean to beat on you with this stuff, okay? But it just, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? A lot of people said to me, hey, Malloy, what can we do? How do we keep you on? Can we contribute money? No, it just can't be done. But if you're of that mindset and you got 10, 20, 30, 50 bucks, or if you're a rich liberal, if you got a couple of thousand, drop it on Shelby. What the hell? But if you're not, if you got 10, 20, 30 bucks that you thought, well, gee, I'd give this to Malloy, give it to Shelby. We'll wind up someplace. I hope. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I hope we will. And when we do, Shelby will probably be carrying the program. So just to make sure she stays on the air, so to speak, on the Internet, $10, $20, $30. If you're employed, you know, if you're not employed, it's okay. But even if you don't donate anything, check out our website. It's a good website. There's all kinds of stuff going on there. Okay? All right. Nathan is calling from San Francisco Bay Area. Hey, Nathan.
Hey. Just wanted to say I actually sent $24 a few months ago when I became employed.
Oh, yeah? To Radio Power?
Yes.
Well, she needs another 24, pal.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there's a couple things I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
One is that if you're in California, Thursday, if you go to verifiedvoting.org, they talk about how there's a big meeting in
Nathan, I hate to do this to you. We got to do commercials. Can you hold on?
Of course.
And let's start over, because I want that whatever website you just gave out for people to catch it. So let me put you on hold. We'll come back. We'll start over right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A growing health crisis comes down to one simple fact. People are not eating their vegetables. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The World Health Organization estimates that 3 million people die each year because they don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. That makes this diet deficiency almost as risky as smoking, and the problem is found in every country, rich and poor alike. Some of the world's most widespread nutritional disorders, including birth defects, weakened immune systems, and blindness, are caused by diets lacking in fruits and vegetables. Ellen Muehlhoff is a nutritionist with the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. She says a lot of people cannot get fresh produce.
What is very important is that fruits and vegetables are accessible to people on a daily basis. That means that they must be able to either grow them in their own garden or be able to buy them in the supermarket or the little fruit vendor around the corner shop. So I think that's a very important issue, availability and easy physical access as well.
Muehlhoff says ignorance also plays a role in poor diets.
A lot of people simply don't realize that fruits and vegetables have a very important role for their health, that they have benefits not only in terms of preventing micronutrient deficiencies, but they also have very important benefits in terms of disease prevention. We are learning more every day about the important protective effects of eating fruits and vegetables, such as they provide protection against cardiovascular disease, against diabetes, hypertension, certain types of cancers as well.
Muehlhoff offers the same advice you've heard all your life. Eat more fruits and vegetables, at least 5 servings a day, and make sure your local schools include these items in their lunch menus. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylor Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Molloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Molloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Molloy Show, just say no.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Seven before the hour, we're talking with Nathan in the San Francisco Bay Area, and Nathan and I have agreed to start all over. Let's start over, Nathan.
Okay.
All right.
Well, the California Voting Systems Panel, which decides what voting machines Californians will use, is meeting Thursday, January 15th at 10 a.m.
Okay.
And if you go to verifiedvoting.org, there's a link for California right on the front page. And there's carpools, there's lots of ways to get there, and it's very important that people do get there because last time, two interesting things happened. One, the protesters were outnumbered about 8 to 30 by paid corporate shills for the voting machine companies.
Yeah.
And two, a report was given that of the 17 counties that use voting machines in California, none of them were using the authorized software on the day of the California recall election, which might explain things.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. It's verifiedvoting.org?
Yes.
Okay. And this is for only for folks living in California.
Yes. And the other thing I want to talk about is I can't remember the name of the guy who was talking about protesting outside newspapers.
Armand.
You can do something like that that really fits in more with the kind of MTV generation. And I did this when Newsweek ran something, I think it was about all the veterans, all the people who've lost legs and arms in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that you just take some tag board that'll fit through a photocopier or a printer. You make up something on your computer. You print it out. You cut it up. And so it's about the same card, same size as the subscription cards.
Mm-hmm.
Go down to your magazine shop, pretend to be looking through the magazines, and just slip them into every one.
Oh, that's
And I
yeah.
just said, took a stock footage of a stock picture of George Bush and says, Bush's lies took this man's legs, and cut them off and put them in the centerfold every time.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Somebody else several weeks ago, I think, or a couple of months ago, came up with basically that same approach. It's an excellent idea. Excellent idea.
And there's lots of opportunities. There's, of course, newspaper machines all over most downtowns.
Mm-hmm.
And also, every time we travel, we go through a million magazine shops, and there's a million in-flight magazines. So easy to print these things up, come up with an idea, print them up, put them in your bag and slip them in all over the place.
Right.
It's a lot more effective than standing outside with a sign.
That's true. That's
Anyways,
that's
hope
true.
You continue. You're the only thing keeping me sane.
Nathan, thanks for checking in. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, you folks are the only thing keeping me sane, too. Trust me. It's spooky thinking, what are we going to do after February 27th again? We're not really checking anything specifically, but we have advertised an add-in, a situation-wanted add-in, the Bible of the talk radio business. That's Talkers Magazine. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Lawrence is calling from Arlington, Virginia. He's been holding on since God was a teenager. Hey, Lawrence.
Evening, sir. It sounds like you're getting ready, though. You and many people are getting ready to like go to the website Work in Australia, which is Australia's, if you're skilled and from America, please come over here. I wouldn't recommend that. I have three quick ideas for you.
Okay, you're not calling from Australia.
No.
No, okay.
No, I'm a loyal listener, but I'm, I can't afford to call you from Australia.
I hear that.
There's an essay, your essay of the week should be done once a week. You were talking about doing it once a month.
Yeah.
should be done once a week because it's an essay of the week.
Yeah, that's true.
I still think you should keep your eye on the idea that there's going to be a massive something happening after the election. And I still think that this move on .org and all these Dean people might be forming a viable, really good third party. And I see you as being somehow tied in with that somehow. And I've got a piece of news that I'm going to make you laugh.
Okay.
If you go to Drudge Report, upper left-hand corner, it links to Reuters.
All right.
Georgia Democratic Senator Miller to back Bush. Not just that.
Right.
He has agreed to campaign for him.
Yeah.
Bush is doing a major campaign fundraiser Thursday down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Miller is coming with several other Georgia Democrats, and they're going to introduce him.
Yeah.
And Miller has said that, quote, he intends to be Bush's surrogate in Georgia for the next 10 months.
Yeah, I know, it's awful. We had it on local media here, and this is a result, believe it or not, this is a result, apparently, of Zell Miller going to Iraq and coming back. And, of course, the thugs in Iraq, the American thugs, showed him exactly what they wanted him to see. So he comes back, and one of the statements that he made, I don't know if the rest of the country has picked up on this, but one of the statements he made here, it was carried by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, is that he sees a similarity between George W. Bush and, sit down, Winston Churchill.
Churchill was literate.
Churchill was...
Churchill wrote books.
Yeah, yeah. You can go on and on and on. I don't know. Zell Miller has apparently gone insane. In the mountains of North Carolina, which is where he's from, there's a thriving methamphetamine business and OxyContin business. It gets you high, it gets you low, it gets you high, it gets you low. The only thing I can think of is that Zell Miller has become a drug addict like Rush Limbaugh or something. He's lost his mind. He's absolutely lost his mind. For Zell Miller to, of course, he's got a book out, so that might explain part of it. And, you know, he wants to suck up to the right-wing crazies in this country who may buy his book, especially in bulk lots. I don't know. I don't know what has happened to Zell Miller. I campaigned for the man in a different lifetime.
I remember that.
Yeah, 20 years ago, you know, I worked my ass off to see him make sure he got elected lieutenant governor. We elected lieutenant governor separate from governors here in Georgia. And I compared him one time to his ability to attract people. I compared it to Bobby Kennedy. I could go back now and cut off my typing fingers, just remove them for having written that about Zell Miller 24 years ago, and he turns out to be this neo-Nazi fascist thug who supports George Bush. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. But you'd be surprised. There are an awful lot of people here in Georgia who feel the same way.
Well, it's just one of the most stunning. I mean, my jaw dropped.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah,
he says, I intend to be George Bush's surrogate in Georgia for the next 10 months.
Nice stuff, huh?
And you see the words, U.S. Senator Miller, a Georgia Democrat. You're like, God, what kind of Republicans must they turn out down there?
Oh, Zell Miller is so far to the right of the Republicans in this state. See, another thing, Zell is apparently suffering from some kind of post-traumatic shock syndrome. He was in the Marine Corps. I don't know if he was ever in a combat situation. Because I'm not sure of his age. If he was in combat, it would have to have been like Dominican Republic or something, because I don't think he's old enough to be a Korean vet, and he's way too old to be a Vietnam vet. So I don't know. Maybe he never saw combat, but he went through that Marine Corps training. And apparently somebody hit him on the head during the training where they're working with the where they punch each other out, and the brain damage is just coming apparent now when he's in his 70s. That's the only thing I can think of, or late 60s. Like I said, I don't know how old the man is, but he's really turned into some kind of a freak. Especially somebody who did serve in the Marine Corps, aligning himself politically or anyway with a punk ass like George Bush, who deserted a Texas Air National Guard unit. Go figure. Because in my experience, veterans, especially Marine Corps veterans, the one thing they don't tolerate very well are chicken hawks who turned and ran. And if George Bush did anything, he turned and ran. So all I can come up with is Zell Miller is crazy. Okay? Hey, thanks for checking in, Lawrence.
Thanks, sir.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. That's all. He's crazy. He's lost it completely. And who cares about Zell Miller anyway? Who really cares? Bill is calling from Yukon, Oklahoma. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Great to be talking to you again.
My pleasure.
Listening to the show for the last couple of weeks, and it's been fabulous. I mean, I'm just, like, totally addicted. I had a couple comments about, you know, fascism. Well, actually, I have one comment about fascism in this country.
Sure, let it rip.
And it just doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, we're all angry and all that sort of thing about it, but it's just so logical, mm-hmm. basically. And over the past 15 years, you know, we've watched the Republican Party build an infrastructure. It started with the Christian Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they took in this group, which they have no interest in whatsoever. But basically, the connection to their, like, allegiance is fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole country has always been run on fear. I mean, I know that sounds really crazy, but I even saw it during Clinton's administration. He always prefaced, when he had a new program, he always prefaced it with, why is he doing it? Because mm-hmm. really bad things will happen if they don't do this.
Well, Michael Moore's latest movie, I'm trying to remember what it was. I'm drawing a blank. But he lays out the very same scenario, that fear that began with putting people into slavery, bringing people from Africa or the Caribbean and putting them into slavery. And the resulting fear has been, that's where it started and has motivated a white America, and white America is the only part of America that has any power. It's been dominating white America ever since. You're on the same page with Michael Moore.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
But I have two suggestions.
Yeah.
I mean, this one is, both of them are really repugnant to me, but I think it's, you know, the way this country works, and if we're going to save our system,
yeah,
we almost need to resort to the same tactics, and I think we're pretty good at it, because I think, in general, we're more intelligent on the average. One is to use fear. I mean, I don't know if you remember, well, of course you do, 25 or 30 years ago, during when the environmental movement started up,
mm-hmm.
that whole thing exploded, population explosion and all that sort of thing, basically took off because people were terrified. And now I think we have even more of a reason to be terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have all sorts of topics that we can use. Number two, the reason that we've gotten from there to here, we've become more or less a fascist state, is that these people organized at the local level. We're sitting here and we're trying to knock off the top, you know, the top of the pyramid, going for the presidency and that sort of thing, or going for seats in Congress. But what they did is they were patient.
Mm-hmm.
They took 15 years and they said, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to win all these local. We're going to become, you know, part of the Library Association.
Sure. County commission.
Guard crossing.
Right.
You know, all
Absolutely.
These things, and they took over the machinery.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take over the machinery of government, all of a sudden you've got something to trade. So all these corporations are not necessarily Republican or Democrat. They're more financial, right? But if you're in control of all the strings,
mm-hmm.
They're darn well going to go along with whatever it is that your agenda is. I mean, I don't think, you know, even... You know, some of these large media corporations, I think the owners, even though they have more of a right-wing philosophy,
right.
I think if they could get what they wanted or, you know, whatever, if they had to play ball with the administration, that would become secondary to making money. So anyway, I know it sounds like really draconian, but I'm kind of a bit inspired just thinking that... We can take their game and do even better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly a possibility. I appreciate that thought.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, Bill. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. You know what Bill said. It makes sense. I just wonder if it's workable. Just like Armand's suggestion earlier in the evening. A business, what am I trying to say? Not business necessarily, but capitalism, not business. Capitalism lusts after, wants a fascist state. Just very simply, you know, there's no dissent. The corporations make the rules, which means there's no environmental protections, there's no labor protections, there's no health protections, and none of that nonsense. What? Give my employers health insurance? What, are you crazy? What? Clean up the messes I make with toxic chemicals that go into the earth, the water, and the air? What, are you crazy? Capitalism loves fascism. As a matter of fact, the two, as far as I'm concerned, unbridled capitalism, unrestricted capitalism, and fascism are just interchangeable. They're just the same theory, different term. And again, I go back to my I almost said my good friend Benito Mussolini, you know, who certainly got his along with his girlfriend when the Italians got a hold of him finally. But you know, Mussolini said, "Don't call it fascism, call it corporatism." Okay, fine, you're dead, Mussolini. I'm not yet. To me, American corporations are interested in promoting and nurturing and bringing about utter, absolute fascism in the United States. Absolute fascism. Bush is nothing more than offal from the business community. That's all he is. He's not a successful businessman. He's a failure. He's failed at everything he's ever gotten involved in. He was the perfect front man for corporate America to bring about fascism. The attack on 9/11, perfect vehicle to bring about fear and terror and a lockdown on constitutional rights. Fascism does not like things like the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Under fascism, there are no rights that are inherent. There are only rights granted by the corporate masters. Does that sound a little antiquated, that term? There are only rights granted by the corporations. Such things as free speech and a free assembly and the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, that's a joke. Those are all jokes to corporatism / fascism. And that's precisely what the Bush crime family is doing. I mean, business, American business, American mega business loves fascism because it's so orderly. The trains run on time. Don't you understand?
Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
No, I've always, you know, a dictatorship would be a heck of a lot easier. There's no question about it.
Five before the hour, Jim is calling from South Georgia. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure, sir.
And I just wanted to tell you to keep the faith, man. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
I mean, you're there to let us know what's going on, kind of package it for us. Us out here, man, we're just busy. We're busy. We got, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Our families to support, and you know, our work to do.
Yeah, you still don't want to tell me if you live in Hayhira, Georgia, do you?
No, I live just south of that. I live in Valdosta.
In Valdosta, okay. I don't blame Valdosta. It's a wonderful place to drive through.
Well, you better keep it a speed limit.
Oh, I hear that.
Ashley talks down here.
I know.
He likes to appear on cops.
But what you're really called about?
But, Zell, I was going to tell you about Zell.
Because we only got a minute.
About Zell.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how the more people suck up to these guys, how a lot of money gets thrown their way?
Oh, sure.
So Zell's always trying to take care of himself in his old age.
I guess that might be it, although he's got a thriving law practice. I don't think Zell would ever have to worry about money. Hell, he owns half of Fannin County.
That's a little work there, you know. You can, you know, write a book, go out on the speaking circuit, you know, and then a lot of money gets thrown your way.
The only thing I can think of is some Democrat somewhere just got into Zell Miller's craw. And he's just pissed off.
Possible.
I can't figure out who it could have been.
Not possible, but I don't know. I think he sees, you know, he's a politician, you know, so where's the way up?
Yeah, that could be. But, you know, I swear to God, Jim, I've known him. I mean, we're not drinking buddies, and I can't call him up and say, hey, Zell, what's happening? But I've known him for 28 years. And I just wonder if some of this doesn't have to do with Zell Miller's kind of right-wing tendencies. that he has kept suppressed all these years in order to get elected, in order to be, you know, let's face it, he's a male, he's white, he's Southern, he's a Democrat. Now, how in the hell did he survive? You see what I'm saying? He's from rural Georgia, right?
Yeah.
And to make it worse, he's from the rural part of Georgia that's up there in the mountains.
Yeah, right.
I mean, them people, you know, diddling, ding, 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 diddling, ding, ding, ding. You understand? Not now. I don't mean those people. I'm sorry. I did it again. Damn. I didn't mean to say that. Jim, we got a boogie. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys.
Appreciate it. I didn't mean any of that. Catherine Bay produced the program here in Atlanta. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is a webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Thank you all. I'll see you tomorrow. And I didn't mean it. Damn it. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to say, you know them people up there in North Georgia. So please don't send me an email about that, all right? I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. No more lies, no more.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fun Tila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fun Tila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk.